Very excited. Clapping. I like that, bro. Good morning, church. What a blessing to be here. I want to welcome everyone in, all you live streamers, as well as our fellowship center. What a blessing to be here today. Anybody love Jesus in here? Can you give me an amen? If you just love, all right, good. Just want to make sure I was in the right place. So I threw my back out this week, about midweek, and you say, well, what strength of feet, what mighty thing were you doing? Showering. You remember when adventure, you know, when you were young and you just couldn't wait to get out and just, you know, test your mettle and try crazy things? Now it's just showering. Tying your shoes, dangerous things. But I'm about 60% back-wise, but luckily, you only need my brain today. And, man, I'm excited about this lesson. Let me give you a couple of updates before we dive in. Since, Jace brought up Larry Bowles last week, I checked on Larry this weekend, and, he's doing well. He's mending. Apparently he did a real job, tearing up his knee again. So be sure and, keep Larry and Kathy in your prayers. And I mentioned Kathy because she has to take care of Larry as an invalid. So she needs a lot of those prayers as well. And Larry, we love you. I know you're watching today. Mom escaped from the rehab center, so she's out. It's good news. Not quite all the way back home. She's convalescing and I'm sure watching at my house today. So hello, Mom, and people love you. And thank you for all the notes, all the words of encouragement, all the advice for Lisa and I that we've gotten these last couple of weeks since we told you about what's been going on with us. And so we appreciate your continued prayers as well. Kaylee Bird, are you here today? Oh, there she is. Come on up, Kaylee. Kaylee is 17 years old, a senior at West Ouachita High School. She plays soccer and she loves to paint.
And play guitar.
Oh, yeah, and she plays guitar. Kaylee, you're not going to believe this, but Lisa and I were not much older than you when your grandfather married us in his living room. Did you know that? You knew that? Oh, I said it last time. Sorry. That's what happens when you're a preacher. You repeat your jokes. You know what I mean? All right, Kaylee's going to share with us a scripture today.
Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, "Who do you suppose I am? I'm not the one you are looking for, but there is one coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to untie."
Excellent. Thank you, Kaylee. Keep drawing and playing that guitar. So the verse that Kaylee read is from in Acts 13 was Paul's sermon where he's talking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist realized that while he was a pretty big deal in the moment that he was here on this earth, that it wasn't about him. He was a great messenger, but his message was about Jesus. And last week, Jace did a great job. He complained all week about me giving him the entire book of Hebrews to cover in one sermon, and then he covered the whole Bible in one sermon. Did you notice that? So it can be done. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. Amen? That was the message we got. That's the message we're going to get. And look, we don't want to exalt the messenger. That's what our lesson is about today, because Jesus is greater than the messengers. And that's what he's going to talk about here in Hebrews chapter 1. And while we don't want to exalt, remember the old saying, don't kill the messenger, right? If you bring bad news, in the old days, a lot of times when you would bring bad news to the leader, the emperor, the king, because you brought him bad news, you might get swept up in his wrath. And so the saying was born, don't kill the messenger. Well, you don't exalt the messenger either, because it's only about the message, whether it's good news or whether it's bad news. But of course, our message is about good news. And I'm going to give you a little disclaimer before we dive into this text, because we're not pulling down the messengers. They're great. Prophets are great. Angels are great. People that shared with you are great. We just never want to elevate the messenger over the message of who Jesus is and what he does for us. And that's what was happening in the context of Hebrews. Now, fortunately, I get to give you this in two stages, because today we're going to talk about those messengers and why Jesus is greater. And next week, we have Hebrews chapter 2, I'll be able to share with you what that means for us. And boy, does it mean a lot. So I'm excited about that. All right, buckle up. You ready? Here we go. Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus, first of all, is greater than the prophets. They're going to be the first messengers that the Hebrew writer is going to mention. In the past, he writes, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So right off the bat, he's going to, you know, appeal to the folks that he's writing to, and they understand how great these prophets are. I mean, you're talking about Moses, you're talking about David, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All these men of old and renown, they received the word of God. They shared that with other people. You get down to Elijah and Elisha, all the minor prophets, all the way down to Malachi, who then pointed to John the Baptist, who then pointed to Jesus. Great men. But they didn't speak, according to Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. They didn't speak their prophecy by their own will, but only by the will of God as he carried them along by the Holy Spirit. You see, all prophecy always has been pointing towards who Jesus is. And so as much as these men were exalted by those who heard them, who studied the scriptures, who read all the things that they wrote, everything in scripture pointed to Jesus. When Jesus got here, everything was fulfilled by him. Every prophecy, all the law, everything. And now everyone who is in him resides in him and his Holy Spirit in us. It's always been about Jesus, never just about the prophecies. And Jesus even himself said in John chapter 5, when he's arguing with the Pharisees, he said, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them, by the scriptures and the prophecies, you will possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me," is what Jesus told him. They missed it. And the entire book of Hebrews is about don't miss Jesus. For anything shiny, for anything outlandish, for anything that tickles your fancy, don't let it outshine Jesus. He is the prophet that fulfills all prophecy. And also in the next section, he is the creator and heir of all things. This Jesus, this Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. Now, right off the bat, that's going to elevate him above all things and all people, right? He made the universe. Here's the way Paul would write it in Colossians chapter 1:15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven. That's angels, that's heavenly beings, that's maybe things or people or beings that we haven't even met yet. And on earth, that would be your prophets, your teachers of the law, Pharisees, Gentiles, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. I would say that makes him greater. Would you agree? He is the heir and creator of all things. Here's the way John would put it in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, Logos, was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. That's the power of Jesus. And that's why he's greater than the messengers. Also, the Bible goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 1, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. He is the light of God, the character of God. That's what that Greek word means. But he's also the Word of God. So when you look at him, you can see now God because Jesus was here. You can touch and feel God, the creator of the cosmos and the universe, because he was here. You can hear who God is and what he's telling you because he was here. That's how powerful he is. He brings light. He brings the exact representation, and he brings a sustaining word. John would go on to say, in him was life, in John chapter 1 and verse 4, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. You ever been just in complete darkness? It's not very pleasant, is it? We were doing the podcast last week. One of these storms that came through, all of a sudden, you know, and there's a lot of trees between here and Luna, and all of a sudden, pitch black dark. And we're up in the front of the lair where we do the podcast, and I mean, there's no light, there's no window, there's no anything, pitch black. And we're groping around. We know this place like the back of our hand. It's like we'd never been in it before, bumping into stuff, knocking stuff over, until we could find some light. Jesus is that light for us. We grope around. We wonder what's going on. We lose our way. We're scared. We're not sure where we are. We're running over things that we knew were there. And he says, here I am. Here I am to show you who God is. He told Philip in John 14:9, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And who do you think was there in Genesis chapter 1, when God said, let there be light, the Logos, the word and power of God? That's why Jesus is greater than the prophets. Hebrew writer would go on to say, verse 3, after he had provided purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Now, that's a big statement for one sentence. He provided purification for sins, and now he reigns. That makes him great, greater than all of humanity. And so you look at that and you say, well, I'm listening, I'm reading Hebrews, and okay, maybe you got me. Maybe he is greater than all those prophets that I love reading about that brought all this history into my Jewishness, but he's not greater than angels because they're heavenly beings. And they're shiny, and they're scary, and they're spies, and they're slayers, and they can do all these great things. As I say to my friends in France, au contraire, Pierre, because he's greater than them as well. And that's what the Hebrew writer goes on to say. Look at verse 4. He became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. And again, we're not talking bad about angels. They're amazing. They're powerful. You look back across the Old Testament, they showed up at all the big moments. They were there. I mean, when Moses is on the mountain getting the law, there they are, being God's messenger. Man, when they're going into Canaan and Joshua needs to know what's going on, there they are, giving the message over and over and over. We see them and their power. We're not saying they're not great. They're just not greater than the Son. And that's the whole point. He goes on to say, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I become your father? That's from Psalm 2:7. Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. That's from 2 Samuel 7, verse 14. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him, the firstborn. Interestingly enough, that's a quote from Deuteronomy 32:43, and that's Moses' last prophecy to Israel when he talks about the enemies being defeated and atonement for sins. That sounds a lot like Jesus. You know why? Because that's who he was talking about. These prophets were speaking into their own time, but they were speaking ahead into our time because of how great our Lord and Savior is. In speaking of his angels, he says, the Hebrew writer continues on, he makes his angels spirits or winds, it says in Psalm 104, and his servants flames of fire. Where have you heard that before? A big wind and some flames of fire. Sounds like what happened in Acts 2, doesn't it? Greater than even the angels. These shiny, amazing beings. You know why? Because of the one and the only. Jesus. He is the Son. Here's what John said in John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. In our most famous verse, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He sent His one and only, His only begotten Son. There's only one. And you count out one, the one. Because He is the exact representation of God. You say, well, I thought we were sons and daughters. Oh, we are. But only because of the one and the only. Not because of angels. Not because of prophets. Not because even the person that shared the good news message with you. But because of the one and only. Yes. Jesus. Yeah, that deserves a round of applause. I think you should give Him one. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. That's the one and only. And that's why He's the greatest. He's also the King. Look at verse 8, Hebrews 1. But about the Son, He says, Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of Your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, Your God, has set You above Your companions by anointing You with the oil of joy. That's from Psalm 45. The King. Not only is He the one and only, but He has established a forever kingdom on earth. And guess what? We're in the kingdom. We're subjects. David talked about it in 2 Samuel 7. Daniel talked about it in Daniel 2 and 7 and Daniel 10. We see the forever kingdom, the gates being opened in Acts 2. First to the Jews, later in Acts 10 to the Gentiles. And now, right up until this moment, in 2024, every moment we have breath in our lungs, we talk about the kingdom of God. Because He is greater. And He is our King. We don't need a physical country. So I thought we were Americans. We are. But I long for a better country. What about you? My citizenship is in heaven. I love my country. I love living here. But whether it rises or falls, I'm going to someplace greater. And that's because the kingdom of God has given me that opportunity. You know why? Because Jesus is greater. Oh, but we got the 2024 election coming up and this is the tipping point. Yeah, I know. I heard that 2016, 12, every 4 years, it's the biggest one ever, right? The kingdom of God has been established. Don't lose sleep at night. He is greater. We are greater because of who He is in us. It's going to be okay. That's the power of who God is. We don't need a physical temple. We didn't come here today to the temple. We are the temple of God. And if we decide to meet somewhere on the side of the road, it would still be the temple of God. Because Jesus established Himself as our temple. That's why that curtain was ripped right down the middle when He gave His life for us. He became our perfect sacrifice. We don't need a priesthood. We are the priesthood because we are the people of Christ. We have a greater Lord. We don't need spirit beings. We don't need angels. They may still show up. Hebrews 13:2, right? We may not know. They may be checking in from time to time. They have some message of encouragement. That's fine. But I don't have to have them in my life because I have Jesus in my life and I have the Holy Spirit living in me. And we got to get that. The Hebrew recipients had to get that. You know why? Because they missed it. They missed it in the moment. And billions of people are still missing it. You know, not all angels, by the way, are good. I mean, many followed Lucifer in a rebellion, and they're still falling to this day. And so many prophets heard from angels and then created a way that said Jesus wasn't the king and he's not the one and only. And billions of people have been hoodwinked because of this. You hear from an angel, just make sure he gives praise to Jesus and says he's your Lord because he's greater. And that's what the Hebrew writer would continue on to say in verse 10. He also says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. He is uncreated, and he is eternal. Every spiritual being, angels, things from the other realm were created just like us. Therefore, I'm not going to follow them. And we look around at good old planet Earth. I want to try to conserve it as long as we can. But you know what? I'm not losing sleep over climate change. I'm not. Well, you're just not informed enough. Maybe not. Or maybe I just think God is in control. And I have a Lord and Savior that is the creator of all things who said he's coming back. And he says he's going to take me with him to some other place. I'm not losing sleep over it. You shouldn't either. Because we have one who is greater. Why would I want an angel to mediate for me when I've got the Son of God who is uncreated mediating for me already? I don't need the shiny. I need the everlasting and the eternal. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen until Jesus. And then he said, if you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. In the face of our Lord and our Savior. And that's why the Hebrew writer would say in verse 13 that he is our Lord. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? And then he says an amazing statement. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? That's us. So not only is Jesus greater than angels? In the eyes of God, so are we. He didn't send his son to die for angels. He sent him here to die for you and for me. And they minister and serve us. That's amazing. Remember Luke 15? When Jesus said that every time a sinner repents, every time a life is changed, what happens? Angels rejoice in heaven. It's a big party going on in another realm because someone gave their life to Christ. Man, is he greater. In Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 1, when Jesus was coming into this world to be born as a little baby, one of us, a human being, who was there to say that a Savior has been born? He is Christ. He is the Lord. Angels. When he was tempted by Lucifer, that fallen angel in the wilderness, in Matthew 4:11, who was sent to minister and attend to his needs after he rebuffed Satan? Angels. When he was praying for resolve in the garden to carry out God's will, who was there to give him some strength and encouragement? Angels. When the stone was rolled away by who? Somebody rolled it away. Angels. And they were also there to announce he is risen. He's alive. Messengers. When he ascended into heaven, who was there to say, why are you standing around looking at the sky? He's coming back just like he left. Angels. And who, according to Paul in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, will be with him when he comes back? Anybody want to guess? Angels. Ministering and serving Jesus, ministering and serving us. Man, aren't you glad Jesus is greater? Yeah, thank you. Praise the Lord. Any of you in here ever been to Buc-ee's? How many? Raise your hands. I want to see them. Fellowship Center? Oh, yeah, I see you in there. You rednecks. I tell you, what a concept. I mean, rednecks love convenience stores, right? So what they would really love is a convenience store the size of Walmart, right? I mean, it's a convenience store on steroids. And I remember the first time I saw one, they built one just in between here and my trek down to Alabama. And I drove by and that thing just stood out like a city on a hill. Bright lights, 200 gas pumps at least, right? And I mean, I was drawn in before I even knew what I was doing. I just went right in there. And I walked in and Lisa and I looked around and we bought all these snacks, so many that I had to have a cart to get them out to the car. Buc-ee's, everything. And so then next time I was coming by during the day and I was still drawn up, you know, my body was trying to get me into the parking lot, but I saw all the cars and all the people and the tourists. And I thought, well, this isn't very convenient. So I just started going to J-Mart. It's convenient, right? You pull in there, you get your gas. There's not a lot of people around. They're pretty quick. Because that's what a convenience store is for. So now when I drive by Buc-ee's, I smile because it's something, man. The redneck in me just grins. But I ain't stopping. It's not convenient. It's a big, shiny thing that looks so good to so many, and it just draws you in. But at the end of the day, is it what it was made for? You see, that's us. I mean, man, we're drawn to the shiny. We're drawn to the messenger. We're drawn to the dynamic personality of leaders. But if any of that leads you any place but to Jesus, we've missed the point. It's about Jesus. It's who he is in us. And this is the last set of messengers that he addresses in chapter 2. I'm going to read this text, and this is where I'm going to pick up next week. He says in verse 1 of chapter 2, we must pay the most careful attention. That sounds like you really got to look, seek. Therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Now, I would say if there was one verse that you could say other than better, Jesus is better, that the Hebrew writer is trying to get across, it's this one. Don't go back. Don't go for the shiny. Don't go for the scary. Don't go back. Go for Jesus. Remember the plan. Remember your purpose. Remember Jesus. Remember who you are and whose you are. For since the message spoken through angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? Why would you want to go back under law? Why would you want to be looking for prophecies and a kingdom to show up somewhere in the future when it's already here? And purification for sins is here. And fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit of God is here. All I'm waiting is for the last ride. This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. There's the last messengers, the ones who share the good news of Jesus. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. I'll see a television show or a sign, man, if you're looking for a miracle, come here. But man, I want to be in touch with a miracle worker, Jesus, because it's about him. I have him. Yeah, but wouldn't you like a miracle, Al? I already got one. My changed life. My hope of the resurrection. I'm going to live forever. I would say that's all the miracle I need. Now, if a miracle happens, I can wonder at it and love it, but it's not greater than the message, who is Jesus. We don't want to fall in love with the bright and shiny Buc-ee's when J-Mart is just right there. So next week, I told you I'm going to tell you why it matters. But since we're out of time, I'm going to tell you why it matters to you today. Because if you don't have Jesus, you've missed it already. And so you want to find him. And you've come to the right place to do that. Because that's who we talk about, is our Lord and our Savior. And he wants you to change, to become like him, and to become in him, and him in you. And that's what happens when you become a Christian. When you obey him, when you submit your life to him, when you allow yourself to be buried into a pool of water, which signifies to everyone watching that you have been raised to live a new life as the Spirit Son of God. Amen. So if you've never done that, today would be a great day to do that and to then shout from the rooftops, he is greater than all. And maybe you just lost your way a little bit too, because that's what this text is about. We don't want to fall back, shrink back into old ways. But sometimes that happens. And when it does, all you got to do is appeal to the greater Jesus. And he'll get you back on the course you need to be on. If you have a need today with any of this, why don't you come while we stand, while we sing.